Good morning. Our scripture this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 11. A voice says, "Cry out," and I say, "What shall I cry?" All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, "Here is your God." See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
Thank you, Lindsay. Good morning. It's good to be back with you again after being away for a couple of weeks. And it was an adventure getting here today. It took us an hour and a half to get here today. Yeah, there's a big accident right in front of us, stopped all the traffic. We could see all the flashing lights. All four lanes of traffic stopped, and then we finally got there to where the accident was. There was literally nothing there. No broken glass, no police cars. I have no idea what was going on at all. But we've gotten quite familiar with I-94. I think I've spent about 300 hours on it since I started here with Antioch. And I love it. It's wonderful. A beautiful time on the highway. My only struggle is there's that change from 60 to 70 and from 70 to 60. And it's either not well posted or I'm just never paying attention there. And I've only been pulled over once. He says, it was late at night. He says, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going home." "Where are you coming from?" I said, I'm a pastor. I'm coming from a church elder meeting." And he's like, "All right, go home safely. Stop speeding." Got a warning. Sometimes the rules of the road change, and if you're not paying attention, they can get you. But I thought about, imagine if you were to drive and commute on I-94 and there were no signs at all. No rules of the road at all. No speed limit signs, no street signs, no lane change signs, no markings on the road, just pavement. How many of you would enjoy that trip? You know, it would be fun if you were the only one on the road. But we have to share it with a lot of other crazy people, and I want them to have rules. I want them to have some rules. I'm struck in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it says in verse 3, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake." One of the things the Lord does as our good shepherd is he guides us. And he guides us in paths of righteousness. He helps us find a way through this world that is righteous and good. Good for us, good for his glory, and for the people around us. We're going to talk about how good shepherds guide today as we continue in our shepherding series. Let's pray before we do. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this rich idea about shepherding and your people being like a flock and your leaders being like shepherds. And Lord, I pray today that you will teach us and encourage us and help us to honor your word. Thank you so much for all this, the scriptures you've given us, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and fill this place and speak through me and speak to all of us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Righteous paths are important. You know, sheep have pretty poor eyesight. They don't have good eyesight. They can see right in front of them fairly well, which leaves them seeing what? Yeah, it leaves them seeing the food that they're eating right there, like, oh, I can see that, I think I'll eat it. And it leaves them seeing each other. That's right. They can see the one in front of them. Specifically, maybe they don't spend a lot of face-to-face time, but when they all walk in the same direction, they're seeing, yes, they see a lot of tail time. Kind of like I see on I-94, I guess. A lot of tail lights. But they see each other's rear ends. They see each other's backsides. And so they're really good at following. They follow the one in front of them. And it reminds me of a question my mother used to ask me. If all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it too? And I would think about it for a minute. Well, maybe. It depends, you know. But the question's been asked before, if one sheep jumped off a cliff, would the others follow? There's an article from the Associated Press, July 8th, 2005, and the headline of the article is, 450 sheep jumped to their deaths in Turkey. And it reads like this, in Istanbul, Turkey, one sheep jumped to its death. Then stunned Turkish shepherds who had left the herd to graze while they had breakfast watched as nearly 1,500 others followed, each leaping off the same cliff, Turkish media reported. In the end, 450 animals lay on top of one another in a billowy white pile. The Aksum newspaper said, those who jumped later were saved by as the pile got higher and higher, and the fall was more cushioned, the newspaper reported. They fell on a bunch of pillows. There was nothing we could do. They're all wasted. Nevzat, a member of the 26 families whose sheep were grazing together, was quoted as saying, every family had an average of 20 sheep, said Abdullah. But now only a few families have any sheep left. It's going to be hard on us. Good shepherds guide their sheep on righteous paths, paths of righteousness, so that they can move around the dangers and they can get to the green pastures and the still waters where they can eat and grow together. The next slide is a picture of a steep hill going from a ravine up, and you can see where the shepherds have found a zigzagging path for the sheep and have led them on this path where they can go and get to their destination without falling off into their deaths. Good shepherds guide their flocks, and they guide in different ways. You know, sometimes, where does a good shepherd guide his flock from? What position is he in as the flock is moving toward a destination? Where is the shepherd? Out front. Out front. Now, almost every leadership book that references this talks about how the shepherd leads from out front. And yes, many times a shepherd will lead from out front. The sheep will hear his voice, they're familiar with his or her voice, and they follow. He can spot dangers out ahead. He can make sure they're going the right way. So there's a value in leading out front, but it's not always the case. Sometimes a good shepherd will guide from inside the flock or from behind, driving them along. Sometimes a flock is moving across, they might get permission across somebody's property. And they would often say, you can move your flock across, but I don't want you eating all my grass. If he leads from out front, they're going to eat all the grass. So sometimes the shepherd is pushing from behind, saying, we can't stop and eat. Keep moving, keep moving. Or maybe it's getting late. There's predators around, and he's got to get them home. Leading out front won't work. He's got to get in and lead from behind and keep pushing. You know, leadership models that say good shepherds only lead from out front, that's that type A driven, climb the next hill leader, which is great sometimes. There's a place for that. But oftentimes when a pastor or elders lead like that only, they miss the sheep that are slower, that are wounded, that are elderly, the pregnant ones, the babies. They leave them behind without protecting. And so good shepherds guide, and sometimes they guide out front, sometimes they guide from the back. Which, you know, as I was thinking about that, I was reminded that shepherding is a team sport. Shepherds usually don't have, maybe if there's 20 sheep or something, but in any sizable flock, there's multiple shepherds. And the same is true in the church. We don't have, the pastor-elder model is always a plural model in the New Testament. It's not something that one person is intended to do alone. So that one can be setting vision, casting vision, leading from out front, while someone else is in the back, helping, carrying, encouraging, motivating. Remember when Jesus told that story about how a sheep got lost? And he affirms that, hey, there's a shepherd who left the 99 to go and find the one. And I remember thinking, man, that's terrible. Like, you left 99 sheep? Just go get one. I mean, it's great, but what about the 99? And I'm pretty sure when Jesus said that, he's speaking in the context of team shepherding. So one of the shepherds got up and went and took the risk to find the lost one. But it didn't mean abandonment of the flock. We work together in teams so that we can help all of the flock, all the shepherds working together in different positions. That was usually how it would go then. It was often a family-run thing. You'd have the father, you'd have his sons and daughters working with the flock. If they needed help, they'd have hired hands in there as well. But then there are also stories of shepherds who don't guide their flock at all. They neglect to lead their flock to good places to eat. They neglect to move their flock away from dangers. In fact, sometimes the shepherds are the problem. Sometimes the shepherds become consumers of the flock rather than caretakers of the flock. And God speaks about this quite oftentimes. In Zechariah 11, verse 17, he says, woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye. May his arm be completely withered and his right eye be totally blinded. There are churches as well, and families, you can think of different types of flocks, where that shepherding person has neglected to care for them. I just want to remind you that God sees that. When you're in that flock and your shepherd doesn't care for you, you feel really abandoned. You feel really alone. God's word is clear. God sees when shepherds don't do their job. God will set that straight. And he will make that right at some point. Ezekiel chapter 34. Have you ever read Ezekiel chapter 34? The entire chapter is God confronting the shepherds of Israel for not leading, not guiding, not feeding, and not protecting their flock. Rather, they were consuming their flock. The flock was there for the shepherd's benefit, and God is upset, and he's confronting them all through chapter 34 of Ezekiel. When I looked around this country today, I see a lot of pastors, you know, headlines about pastors who are falling. Fortunately, in this area, it doesn't seem to be so bad, but in a lot of parts of our country, pastors are falling. I kind of hate that term. It's like, oh, you tripped and fell. That's really sad. What really is happening are there are shepherds who have been consuming their flock or picking off certain lambs for their own consumption. There are pastors who have been abusive in their leadership or elders who have been negligent in leading and holding accountable. And they're being exposed, and, you know, it's Ezekiel 34. Because God cares about his flock, and he will care for his flock, whether human people do a good job or whether they don't. He cares about his flock because God's plan is for his flock to multiply. When a family would have a flock of sheep, they would want that flock to multiply. It was the family business. It was for the family good. Flocks would multiply by having more young, which means it has to be safe and nurturing environment for that to happen. And it's true in the church as well. In a healthy church, we should be a multiplying church, a growing church. It's different ways to grow a church. You guys are doing a pretty good job with having more lambs. We've got a few of those and more on the way. And that's awesome. That's part of it. That's beautiful. But also, new believers coming in saying, hey, tell me about Jesus. I think I need to hear about that. Hey, I think I'm ready to learn more. I'm not sure what to do next, but I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to grow. Help me along, or I have this struggle and I need some help. And we want to help our church grow that way as well. That's really important. Because change is natural and growth is needed to help us continue to do what God wants us to do. And the ultimate goal of leadership of a flock is to bring that flock home. Bring that flock home. Jesus talked in John 10 about bringing the flock home every night, counting every sheep, naming each one by name, checking over them, making sure they're healthy and that they have rest. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 and 17 says, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat on them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. Think about that. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. The image of a shepherd's not an Old Testament thing. It's a people of God image that will continue to be with us for all of eternity because it's good, and it speaks of God's protection, provision, and guidance. So we want to help our leaders to do those things well, to guide us well. But I also want to talk for just a few moments about some of the differences among the flock, some of the differences inside of the flock. Goats and rams and different types of sheep. Can I talk with you about that for a minute? It's often mentioned in the Bible, but it's not really what we think about when we think about a flock. When I think about a flock of sheep, I tend to have the picture in my mind, right? A little bit like that. I see the shepherd standing there. I see like all these sheep, because that's what was in the children's book when I was a little kid. All the sheep look the same. And then there's one shepherd, and that's a flock of sheep, right? That's not how God's word talks about a flock of sheep. God's word talks about all kinds of diversity in the flock of sheep. There's goats, often in a flock of sheep, and that's good, that's by design. There's rams. The rams are the dads of the flock. They're bigger, they're stronger, they often have horns. There's ewes that are the moms of the flock, sometimes pregnant, sometimes nursing, but always kind of giving, nurturing. And then there's lambs. Little lambs, so small and defenseless and cute and cuddly and needing a lot of care and a lot of help. Oftentimes in modern flocks, there's llamas in there. You know why there's llamas in a flock of sheep? What? The help shepherd, yep. No, you're probably saying great things. It's just hard for me to hear. Yes, they're taller. They have better eyesight than sheep. They'll startle at danger before the sheep are aware that it's there. And so they can see some things, or they can see a little further. So that helps give them, it's a radar system for the flock. We talked about sheepdogs a couple weeks ago. Remember that? The sheepdogs, different than the wolves, they both bark and snarl, but the sheepdogs come in and they keep the flock together and they work with the shepherds. There's all kinds of diversity, and the diversity of a flock is part of its health. It's part of the good health of a flock, and God designed it that way. Not all sheep are the same. God made those rams to be stronger, to be a little bit more aggressive. God put people like that in the church. God made goats to be a little bit independent. You know, the goats don't really care so much what the flock is doing. Like, you guys go do that. I'm going to chew on this tin can for a while. They're the independent thinkers. I'm going to kind of do what I want. Like, I want to do this. You know, and there's goats in a flock in the church as well. I'm not just going to go along with everybody. I'm doing my thing. I remember when Paul the apostle went to visit the Bereans, and he affirmed them. He's like, you didn't go along with anything I said. You wrote it down and you checked it in the Bible to see if it was right. They were acting like goats. They're like, we're not going to just instantly follow. We're going to look and see what we're chewing on first. And sometimes there's goats. Some independence is important in a church. Some good thinking. The rams as well. The rams can be like bulls in a china shop a little bit. They're the more independent or the stronger willed ones. They can kind of barge around and bump people out of the way. They can inspire people as leaders as well. So there's strengths and weaknesses to it. And God expects each of us to fulfill our role well. In Zechariah chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, God, like a lot of these passages, he's confronting, and he says, my anger burns against the shepherds, and I will punish the leaders, for the Lord Almighty will care for his flock. The word for leaders is the Hebrew word rams, the male sheep. He's upset that the flock's not being cared for, and he's upset at the shepherds for it, and he's upset at the rams. He's like, you guys are in this flock for a reason. You're strong. You have maturity. You have strength. I expect you to be helpful, and you haven't done it. God was upset with them. In Jeremiah chapter 50, God is talking about the goats in the flock. He talks about how, like, my people have been like lost sheep. The shepherds have led them astray. They've wandered all around without leadership. And then he's saying to them in verse 8 of Jeremiah 50, flee out of Babylon, leave the land of the Babylonians, and be like the goats that lead the flock. He's saying, the shepherds of my people have failed. There aren't good shepherds here, but there's goats. Be like the goats. Get your head out of the herd and look ahead and provide some leadership. And sometimes that's necessary too. Some of you are good independent thinkers. Help. Look up. Look for good resources. Look for good direction and help provide some independent thinking that's good for us. And you know, the best flock is when you've got good shepherds leading from out front and behind. You've got the rams protecting. And you've got the independent thinking goats checking things out, not following along. And then everybody else is in a good, safe, assured place to be. Leadership is a team sport. When a shepherdess goes to feed her flock, and she pours grain into the trough. What does she do then next? They're all hungry. She pours grain in the trough. She could just get out of the way and let nature take its course. It's kind of how you know, I heard a lot about that when I was growing up. Let nature take its course. Well, what will happen is the rams will push and shove, and they'll go and eat like pigs as much as they want. And the goats will get in there, and they'll eat. And then these ewes, who are trying to regain enough strength to care for these young and carry young, and the lambs will get the scraps that are left. That was happening in Ezekiel 34. After God's done confronting the shepherds, he says this in verse 17, "As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock. They will no longer be plundered, and I will judge between one sheep and another." A consumerism mindset in the church can be really unhealthy. I think I need this for my family. I think I just want to do this. And it's good to think about those things, but if we're just kind of looking for what's in this for me, we're going to be inadvertently bumping and shoving others who need care and support and help. And if we do that and we rush in and take what we want, we're going to just muddy the water. And God calls us to look at other people. Think about Philippians chapter 2 and the importance of putting others first. In Philippians 2, verses 3 to 5, he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." And talks about how he laid down his life for his flock. Are you aware of the needs of others in the church around you? If you went home today, could you write them out? These are the interests of the people around me that God is calling me to be aware of and serve before my own interests. That could be a pretty cool activity to do. We talk about this at the elder level. We talk about it a lot. They're probably tired of it. About what are the interests involved here? What are the interests we're called to serve here as leaders? It's not about just getting a decision done or doing something. It's about really discovering these interests so that we can be serving the flock as a whole. The church has plenty of goats and plenty of rams. We want to help them find a way to use their independence and their strength for God's glory and for the good of the flock. Because if they don't, they'll muddy the waters, they'll consume, and sometimes even bully to get their way. Rams can be bullies. It can be a good thing. I read a story about a guy who was visiting a flock of sheep, and he was like, "Oh, there's some little baby lambs in there, and they look so cute. I'm going to take a picture of them." And so he got his nice camera, and he starts moving toward them with his camera, and all of a sudden he couldn't get there because there were four rams right in his face standing there like, "What are you doing coming near our lambs?" And he couldn't get the picture. He got a picture of four rams staring him down with their horns. That's what rams are supposed to do. Watching out for the weak, watching out for the vulnerable, watching out for people who need someone to care for them so that outsiders can't just come in and take what they want. But sometimes those rams can turn and push and shove and even bully a little bit. So I just want to make a few notes about that as we wrap up. I just want to say, by way of application, never let stronger people bully the weak. It's not good leadership. It's not God's plan. Never let stronger people bully the weak. Doesn't matter what setting you're in. If someone is bullying a weak person near you, step in. Now, there's a common thought in the world that the only way to put a bully down is for a bigger bully to come along. That's kind of dumb. That's not biblical. Fight fire with fire and burn the whole house down? Jesus taught us a better way. We don't need weapons of this world to stand up to the bullies of this world. We need the Spirit of Christ with peace in our hearts. It was a few months ago, I was with a friend of mine. He was in a conflict in his church. He was out of state. He and I have been friends since college. And he's talking to a man who had a reputation for being a church bully. And this man was called out for something he did. And he flew into a rage. In this little space, just a few of us there, he stood up. And he started pointing his finger and screaming and yelling and made himself really big, kind of scary. And I was glad I was there with my friend because here we are. What are we going to do? So after a few seconds of him putting his folly on display, I just stood up between him and my friend, just stood there. Didn't have to hit him, didn't have to push him, didn't yell back, didn't have to get angry, just stood there. We need to protect one another. And he calmed down eventually, and then we were able to respond. But please stand up. It's scary and it's risky, but stand up on behalf of the weak. That's our calling. Jesus did it for us. Let's do that for one another. At the same time, we have strong-willed people in here. I'm not saying you're bullies. You have a role to play. Let's help our strong people to be strong people in a way that's good and godly, in a way that helps, you know, that can help teach and promote goodness in our church and lead and provide strength and be a part of a healthy leadership dynamic. I also do want to mention, it's possible there may be some in here who've been hurt by church bullies before. A lot of people have been hurt by church bullies. In fact, I've been telling Kimberly, I wonder what would happen if we planted a church for people who've been hurt by church bullies. And we would name it the Deconstructing Church. You know, there's a lot of people deconstructing their faith. And really, for a lot of them that I know, it's, I believe in the Lord, but I've had bad experiences in church where I've been hurt. Now I've got to pull those two things apart. That's what it means. I'm deconstructing that. I got to figure out, what does it mean to follow Jesus and pull it apart from this bad experiences that I've had? And if that's been you, I just want to encourage you to support one another, to love one another, to remember that God is not defined by human weakness and human stupidity. God is good. He is our good shepherd. He sees you. He knows your heart. He's given us the biblical language of lament to speak to him from that place of darkness. And he's calling us home. And it'll be good. So let's help one another. As we pray for Antioch's next pastor, as we work together as a team, as the elders are looking for some new elder people to join in on that, all these things that are happening, let's support one another and help one another to look for God's best designs for us as we each bring our strengths together as the flock under Jesus' care. Father, thank you for your commitment to Antioch, for your commitment to each person here, Lord. It's your desire that we be able to move through the dangers of this life with shepherding and be led toward green pastures and still waters to find peace and shalom in you. So help us, Lord, in the day by day to abide in Christ, for your words to remain in us, to just stay close to you, to stay close to our shepherd, so that we can learn and grow. In Jesus' name, amen.